this week just meditating on different things, and this meditation came to me in my heart, so I want to share this with you. I have no doubt that this is one of the, I think this is one of the main reasons why you don't have an individual, or I don't have individual revival, or we don't have a corporate revival. Tent meeting is coming up here soon, and you know, a lot of people think about revival, and we look forward to a meeting of some sort, somehow the preaching of a bold evangelist is going to somehow bring revival, and it oftentimes does for maybe a day or two, and we have a couple of days of reviving, but then it wanes. But what I'm going to share with you this morning is about four decisions, and Jesus brings these out here very early in the gospel, but four decisions that all of us can make, and will definitely bring you revival. Just have to make some decisions, very simple ones, and I want to bring those four out here, and I want to talk about priority. And Jesus mentions, and the thing that came to my mind this week is this word first. Jesus mentions some things that are first in our life, some things that take priority in life. And I find that most Christians don't have their priorities in order. And there's four areas he mentions. And I think if we would just stop and ponder these four areas briefly, maybe take 10 minutes on each of them here this morning, it'll change the way we live. It'll change our life. It'll change our spiritual life. So priority. And right here in the first gospel, there are four firsts. Jesus mentions this word first. When he says first, he's referring to things that take priority in life. And if you don't get priorities right, your life is going to be greatly hindered. And if I could put up here on the board, let's just say these five here represent all the New Testament commandments, all the New Testament theology. And Jesus has the first. Remember, he said the first and greatest commandment is this. And so in his mind, there are first and greater. He talked about those things that are camels instead of gnats. He talked about greater commandments and lesser commandments. And so there are certain things that are first in God's economy. However, most Christians in 31 years of ministry and in my own life, I've seen that most Christians live this way. They go the opposite. They go this way, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. In other words, they have the Word of God. Matter of fact, this group can say, I believe the Word of God. God's Word, He never lies. This group can say, I believe the Word of God. God's Word, He never lies. However, there's a big difference between this group and this group, and this group has taken the priorities of the Word of God and have turned them on their head. And Jesus made an analogy here. He says to the Jews, who, I believe, if you ask them, do you believe the Word of God? They'd say, well, yeah, we believe the Word of God. But they had taken and put it on its head and strained at the gnat, and then made this one the most important, and they swallowed the camel. And that's simply a phrase there that represents people who have totally inverted priority in the Bible. And it's a part of human nature for us to do that. One of the reasons why we do that is because, I've shared this before, it takes great grace to accomplish the greater commandments. And when we don't have grace in our hearts and our life, we tend to focus our attention on the lesser commandments because they're within reach. It's like on the bottom shelf. I can reach this stuff down here that's very simple and easy. That stuff up there, dealing with my pride, it's too far for me to reach. That stuff up there of dying to myself and sacrificing myself and giving my life is too far. Just bring religion down here to some simple things that I can reach. We'll make those the most important. Get this inverted view of Christianity. So I understand that we can believe the Word of God. I understand all of us probably would believe the Word of God, but But I want to talk this morning about first. Four times in the book of Matthew, Jesus mentions the word first. And he talks about a priority. There are different areas of life. You're probably thinking of one already. We'll get to that one. But there are other three we don't think of very much. And I'd like to bring those out here today. So let's pray. And I think if we can get our priorities in order, it'll bring revival to our hearts. So let's ask the Lord to help us here this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we have the words of our Lord Jesus Christ here in the Scriptures. Thank you that you have given us your word, and you've also given us some priority. And Lord, may our hearts be opened up that we might see and understand, and may our lives be opened up for you. May we as a church also, as a corporate body, understand your priorities and how they affect our individual lives. So Lord, we pray your blessing on us again this morning. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look here at four of these. Very simple. Spend about 10 minutes on each one of them. The first one is found, and I'm not going to give them to you in order. I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 7, first of all, here. And again, I'm looking at this idea of first. Jesus mentions the word first. In other words, there's an order here. And you need to do some things first with regards to priority. Here in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse number 1. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Now, verse 5 has our first in it. Thou hypocrite, first. In other words, you're doing this all backwards. Get your priorities right. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. And so here is the first, this idea of self-examination always comes before I look at my brother's mote that is in his eye. And I think one of the greatest hindrances to revival and even to conversion and everything God does in us is we tend to be more concerned about what's happening out here with everybody else than what's happening right in here in my heart. And so the Lord says, first of all, you know, you're all preoccupied with judging everybody else. What you need to do is first take a look at the beam that is in your own eye. Now, I understand that to mean this. You know, the beams in Christianity are the things that are hidden. The big things are the things that are in your hearts. And you know how life is. The bigger issues are what's hidden inside my heart, and you and I are, we can't see those things. However, the smaller issues are the things that are outside that I can see them. I can look at you today and see maybe issues that you're on the outside. And so we tend to judge people based upon that which we see on the outside, and those are the lesser things. But the real beam is that which is on the inside, and you and I know what those beams are. You and I know what's inside there. You and I know what we have to deal with in our own personal life. And so the Lord tells those who are listening here, and I believe many of them are lost, some of them are his disciples, but that when you look at people, first look at yourself. And I think a lot of people don't have revival in their own personal life because they're not very introspective. They're always looking outside of themselves and everybody's got problems. Oh, the church and all the problems. What about you? I haven't looked recently. So So priority in life, and I think this is a good thing to establish in all of our lives, is to first look and focus with priority that which is my issue. What is my issue? Now, fallen man, as Brother David was mentioning here this morning, fallen man always save himself. Jesus said to lose your life, not to save your life. Fallen man puts himself first. And so fallen man not only seeks to save his life, he seeks to save his reputation. He's seeking his reputation. And so you'll find that fallen men, generally, instead of looking at themselves, they want to look outward. They want to look at everybody else because they don't want to maybe make confession. They don't want to acknowledge who they really are on the inside, and they want to save their own reputation, save their life. You know, this story goes back. I love going back to the very beginning. God comes to Adam and says, Adam, why did you? Oh, Lord, look, I'm the one. Immediately, fall nature. He deflects the attention away from his own heart, the beam that is in his own heart, and he does his deflection by pointing to his wife. Well, now the spotlight is on Eve. What does Eve do? She deflects, and she points it on the serpent. All of us all do this. Our fallen deflect. So Jesus says, here's a good Bible. Get really concerned. Many people today are so concerned about everybody else. Don't focus on their own heart. We like to keep a reputation. Oh, one of the why people don't confess sin. We have a church. Nobody confesses why we don't confess. Don't open up our hearts because we want a reputation. We want to save ourselves. We want to save our reputation. So there's very little confession. You find a place where there's revival, there is a willingness to be transparent and to open up. And, you know, a lot of this, here's where I'm at, Lord. Brothers and sisters, here's where I'm at. Forget about you. It's me, Lord. The old song, it's me standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's me. Our hearts are instead of the beam that is in our own eyes. God cannot revive. Agree with that? But people, not about this. So we tend to deflect from our way and some little too close to it. Ever approach someone, this happens often. Nature. I've seen a lot of human nature over the years. I have it in myself, so I'm very acquainted with it. But you go to someone and you want to approach them about a sin, and you go to them and you're kind, you're gracious, you say, brother, I would like to bring up an issue in your life, and automatically human nature starts to deflect and starts to, well, so-and-so does this, and so-and-so did that, and they accuse. Natural response when light shines in your heart is reflected and look at that person. Look at me. Look at that person. It's everybody else's fault. It's not mine. It's my wife's fault. It's my husband's fault. It's the church's fault. It's the pastor's fault. It's everybody's fault. I even do that. I'm just trying to. Romans chapter 2, Paul said this, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges this. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. In other words, this idea of judging and not judging yourself, it condemns you because it truly are. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest. My heart. We have critical spirits, we ourselves. I love the story in John 8. Jesus, by the way, when he teaches, he actually uses them there in John 8, the great story of the woman in adultery, and these men come and they point the finger at this woman. She is the sinner. She's the one taken in adultery. And the Lord knew all these things. He knows human nature. This critical, condemning spirit is protecting themselves. I don't have. So the Lord used. But one of the things we all need. I'm not saying to forget about your. I will say that first. You're in no good place to judge your heart. So, Lord, you've got pretty much. Thou that judges. How many of you? And that distracted from their life by pointing out and really crying out about this poor woman. So the lesson here in verse number 5 is this. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye. Now, if you want to have revival in your life, forget about casting everybody else's beam out. Make sure that your issues are resolved and start looking to your own heart. By the way, that's what revival is all about. Preacher comes and Lord, when you break me, clear me, and set me free, then I can go. David, Lord, cleanse me, search me, deliver me from blood guiltiness. Then shall I be able to go and teach transgressors their way. I get. So I know that. I stand. Let's. The Bible says, confess your faults one. Oh, it never. Confess your faults one to another and pray one. So revival. Love being around people. I enjoy being around here. First and foremost, I don't like being around. Own heart. those who are those who have their proper priority with searching their own hearts are good at helping others. Look what it says, 4:5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly. Cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And so here you have this beautiful example of, if you can get your issues resolved, have a good heart, and you're right with God, and everything is going well, then you can see clearly. Considering thyself. I think one of the reasons why revival is not coming to God. Yeah. Probably a lot. Obey that verse. Kind of a preparation. Stop looking around at everything. Now, this second one here is the big one, I think, and it's a familiar one. I'll just make comments on this one. It's just prior to Matthew 7. It's in Matthew chapter 6. I want to read here in verse 31. Here's another first. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's the heathen. That's those lost people. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But he... with priority, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these shall be added. The Gentiles, you go out there in this world, the Gentiles are seeking first. First, they've inverted this thing. They are seeking first the things that have to do with food and raiment, provision. You know, everybody out there, I got to make money. Got to make money. Got to provide. Boy, we have a good standard of living and all these things. I know much is said about this. I think Bible and life, because their priorities are. Effort, money, give your best effort. Think, God. So in Noah's day, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, buying and selling. All these are good things, acceptable things, but they were Gentiles, and those things took priority in life. The Lord gives in the gospel message, Sermon on the Mount. Priority. Priority in It's been a struggle for all my life. Struggle for you. Jump back to verse 25 just to bring out some thoughts here. In verse 24:5, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. This is what you live there. Forget, take no thought. Nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? Is not, this is a question, is not the life more than meat? And the body than raiment. It's kind of like, listen, folks, from God's perspective, isn't life more than meat and clothing? Right? Boat, get a hobby, and life. They do work. Never give much thought to the kids. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not neither to eat nor gather into their barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Brother Chris, here's a Your Father, all those birds out there, your Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Hey, believe me for a minute. I take care of those birds, and you're much more valuable than those birds. Don't here's the answer. And why take ye thought for raiment? Oh, I got to have clothes. I got to have all these clothes. Clothes, clothes, clothes. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, not like a cat. Not much more clothes. I believe. I believe. Oh, yeah. Watch me. You know, I see how people in our world, they lie. Lord, thank you for the labor. I can't get anybody to work in the kitchen. You go, you give people jobs, they'll line up for miles for the food and the raiment, but when it comes time to working for the kingdom of God, it's like anybody. No, this is not something to do. Go back to the Haggai if you can find it. Zephaniah, Haggai, the prophet Haggai had that same problem in the Old Testament. By the way, I want to correct something. You may agree with me, but in the Old Testament, they had a tribe called the Levites who were the priests, and they did the service of God in the temple, and all the other tribes got to go out in the field and do their work. And we've brought this Old Testament concept into the New Testament, and that we placed it in here, but you realize that God has made us all. Well, we don't have this excuse, well, Brother Jerry, or we have a paid clergy, and he's paid to do the kingdom of God work, and we are all out doing our own thing, provided. Well, here's a good story. All these could have a sermon in themselves, but Haggai chapter 1, I'm going to read starting in verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. That is the Lord's house. Church is the Lord's house. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now what was happening is they were sent to build the house of God. And they went, and they decided, well, we got to have a nice house ourselves. So they spent all their time building their nice houses, sealed them up, gardens and landscaping and all that, while down the road, the temple was in ruin. Lord, recognize the priority problem. Verse 5, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, look into your own heart. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. Clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put him in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. That's the house of God. And I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Look for much and lo, it came little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house, that it is waste and you run every man unto his own house. The Old Testament. You had a project here. going down to build the house of God. Number one priority. So in the human heart, let's go down there. Put up. We'll all build nice houses. And a year, 2, 3 years goes by, 4 years goes by, everybody's working on their houses, doing their lawns, planting their flower beds, and the house of God is still down there lying in wait. While they're doing their houses, pages, putting their money in bags with well, and it's like things aren't working out. The life is kind of meaningless, and I'm depressed. And what's the problem here? Well, the problem is your priorities are all messed up. No, this idea says the people say the time has not come. That the Lord's house should be built. In other words, we can put it off. Not that. Put it off. Not priority. Do it sometime later. And that's what you do with things that aren't priority. Do it later. They were saying, well, we'll get to it. Hey, we're not being disobedient. We're going to do it, but we'll get to it later. It's not priority number one. Our things are priority. So we have the house of God, and God, the house of God. Right? I have a house. House. Priority in your. Or your own house. I'm over. Oh, good question. And the ladies. Monday morning, you wake up. Think about this. You wake up Monday morning, and what do you think about? This next week, go look at your schedule book. This next week, it's the kingdom of God priority on my schedule. Or this next week is that work, working for this job, over here, top job, job, job. And I go through my house, and finally I drag in on Sunday and say, well, it's time to do something for the kingdom. I have to. What? You're first. That's one of the reasons why the Lord says, labor. Unless they're not setting my work. I know you probably know that. But I think you ought to get up Monday. Fall. God first. My stuff second. Boy, that changed. Boy, there'd be a real revival then. Brother Jerry, first and foremost, this week is for the church. Now, what can we do to build the kingdom of God? We want to seek that first. You know, that's the eternal thing. My house over here is going to get burned up when the fire comes. That's food and raiment and all that's going to get burned up. And we're supposed to set our affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. So what can I do this week to build the kingdom? After I fell off my chair, got back up. Say, brother, you got a revival in your. But we live in America. Americans. Speak it. The truth of the matter is that God's work is oftentimes a part-time work. If it gets. Well, that's another thing that's vital to your life. I need to get authority. First, now, if I told you here, I just got a special word from the Lord, and the Lord told me to let you all know that in 3 months,
Lord's coming back. He's going to follow the things that your priorities would project. Or now a wise person. Lord's already given us the priority number one. Well, let's move on to the third one here, and this is right there in Matthew 5. The Lord's giving us another here priority issue. So you've made two decisions already, and already the Lord is starting to bring revival. Here's another decision. What have you made? Matthew 5:21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Now we're going to talk about relationships. Leave therefore thy gift before the altar and go thy way. And here's our word. First, be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Now notice it isn't offer your gift and reconcile whenever you want to. It's no big deal. No, it's priority. You know, a lot of people, revival tarries in their life because of the altar. The altar here represents the altar of sacrifice. We offer a sacrifice of praise unto our God. As you come, we offer a sacrifice of praise to God. And you give money, you give sacrifices. But your heart, there's animosity, brothers. Animosity. And you know this other individual has animosity towards you. The Lord says, first, with priority, and get your heart right with your brother. First, be reconciled. Priority. Flag the fact that you can bring a second altar. But by the way, if you don't know this, I shared this before, but Christianity, the two greatest commandments are to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. Both of those are relationships. And everything in the Bible hangs on relationships. So the Lord is very... Yeah, you won't get... So leave your gift and go thy way first. The giver realizes that oftentimes we have our own personal are broken. Like Lord is saying, bring your stuff here. First, go and reconcile. Now, read this. I read this. I feel like I have to explain this. Look at verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, without a cause, good thing. You know, God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry. There's nothing wrong with being angry. God is angry because of sin. God hates sin. Jesus was anointed with an oil of gladness because he loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. It is a good thing to be angry at sin. So the nature of God is up there and he's his balm. is holding his anger back. He is not destroying the sinner. That is here wrote this 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord. In other words, God's anger. Because of the cross, God says, well, I'm no longer angry. Time that the Lord was dogged as a man with a withered hand and wanted to heal him on the Sabbath day, and they were, he said they had hard hearts. The Bible says the Lord looked on, drove them out to another place with a wind. God is angry over sin, but hear that. Most of us are involved. By the way, I think if we're in, you ought to be angry, you don't destroy them. You don't take vengeance like God is long-suffering. You don't destroy them like, let's stone this woman. Her adultery makes me angry. I'm sure God was angry at this woman for adultery, but hold it all. Feel the kind of somebody pulls him. Somebody is taking away my car. You know, your wife pulls the shit off you at night, you know, and you, Someone is removing the comfort supply from me. That anger, my comfort, brother. God gives the Lord wilts the thought. The Lord talks to Jonah. I'm angry. Towards my here without a what it says here reminds us how serious this is. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. Okay, so your brother has taken some comforts from you. Your brother maybe offended you, and you're in danger of the judgment. And if you say unto your brother, Raca, which I don't understand exactly what that means, I didn't look it up, shall be in danger of the council. You're going before church discipline. And if you say to your brother, thou fool, if you have animosity in your heart and you speak that way about your brother, so therefore, bring your okay. Listen, I realize you always recognize. I mean, they might keep their anger forever, but you first go and reconcile with them. Are you angry with anyone without a call? Good in the home. This and this and this. And without a call. By the way, when a child curses, anger without a cause So Christianity is about relationships, and God values relationships, especially our relationship with Him. But He also says, if you come and you want to offer me a sacrifice of praise or whatever, and yet you remember that you have aught or your brother has aught with you, there's an issue of anger, go and reconcile. So is there any brother? About this. Walking with God, everything. Life again. He's making it. So I'm thinking as I go through this here, if you start looking inward and not outward in first your own eye, if you set the kingdom of God first, now these are all given to us here in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to mention this last one, Matthew chapter 23, one we've talked about here some, but I'll read it, comment on it here. And just Matthew 23, it's another first, starting in verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first. Cleanse first that which is within the cup, the outside may be also. Now, this is a priority that the Lord is giving to us. I want you to go after the inside of the cup first. Priority. I know this goes with. Brother, what it says here, cleanse first that which is in the cup and will be. In other words, you'll seek the priority, other thing will take care of itself. Listen to this one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added. In other words, if you seek the proper priority first, everything else, I'll make sure you get it. Solomon, you seek wisdom, I'll give you the riches and the honor. You just seek the wisdom, all this will be added to you. In other words, if you get the priority right and you seek it first, thou blind, cleansing the outside of the cup. We ought to give priority. Pride. I've been preaching to them. A lot of pride and envy. Envy, lying, strife, division, adultery, being a busybody in other matters. These are attitudes of heart. I said, the outside of the cup. Down to verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make your like unto whited sepulchres and appear beautiful outward. Good. smell when you get my inside of my car. Have a good day. Also working with here too. So when dealing with others, start with the inside. When dealing with yourself, start with you. A lot of people in Canada, but all back. Provision. Outward things in the Bible. These things are in the Bible, but on their head. Read one more verse here, Romans chapter 2, verse 28. For he, Paul is writing to mainly Jewish people, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one. That word, through. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in letter, whose praise is not of man. Here we're running to have personal. I don't see. I was thinking first, how much rest, last. Let's flip the priorities. All right, that's what I want to show.